Oh, I recognize that face. You're in trouble, aren't you? Well, I'll take you out to the Outer Rim, but I don't think it's going to do you much good. Why? Well, there's a new bounty hunting group. You haven't heard?
There's a two-faced Twi'lek and a pugilist droid. If I were you, I'd do my best to avoid the Salonian captain and the Gandroid tech. Better watch your back or you're gonna get wrecked. The riding on the sky on fire, heading to the edge of the Empire. Your number's up and now you gotta pay. Running from the heroes of the Hadean way.
Previously on Heroes of the Hadean Way, after a fortifying and delicious breakfast from Vreebo, the crew followed their newest lead to the loaded Tavrib. Almost immediately, Vestrano is requested to return as the Cold Shoulder, and Barrowin is tagged in as Tailspin to be his partner. Cav and Billy set their sights higher, strolling to the club level looking for Michael Torval, the man who would lead them to the Queen. Cav's spy network of droids quickly located him in a private booth, where Cav's slicing and Billy's charm got them in. But will he be willing to help? And how will Vestrano and Barrowin's match go? Find out in this week's episode, A View from the Booth.
Welcome to Heroes of the Hadean Way. This is a live play podcast that explores published adventures and the Fantasy Flight Games Star Wars RPG line. Our current adventure is Mask of the Pirate Queen, and this is Act 2, Episode 9. I am Ben, the GM for this adventure.
And I am Billy, and I'm selling these fine leather jackets.
I'm Vestrano. I don't want to sell my jacket. I like it a great deal. I don't have anything else to sell. Yes. I'm very confused.
I'm Barrowin. My jacket has sentimental value, so you cannot have it for any price.
Illyn made it.
I guess that is true of the one that I have now.
And if this being would like an Illyn Cav original, dial 555 KAVAAV. Now.
You dial it now?
Oh no, Illyn is messed up!
If this being does not have a touch tone comm, please stay on the line. Your call is important to us.
Illyn might not have been prepared for this intro. Illyn might have another letter to read at some point. This is the burden of being last now in the order.
The whole music is just clue horns. Just discordant clue horns.
Cap thinks it's this grand swelling music, but really it's just the clue horn players tuning their instruments.
It sounds good to Cap.
To learn more about our characters, we get one hero to ask another question. Today, we'll get Billy to ask.
Captain, I have heard this come up numerous times between you and Cav, or Illyn, and I feel as though I do not fully understand your stance in the matter. You have routinely told them that you have a style. How would you describe it?
Tasteful. I like long coats that are flowy, give me good coverage, but also cut a good sort of figure. They look gallant. Earth tones are nice. Also armored padding. Why? Do you not think I have a style?
This was simple curiosity. Illyn apparently does not believe you have a style.
Well, we've all seen how Illyn dresses.
With style!
Indeed. Illyn has their own style.
That is a word for it.
It is a neutral word.
Is it, though?
In this case, the camera starts out looking through the people of a privacy door at one of these private boxes. It continues through, and the fisheye effect of the door eyepiece, you can see off to the right-hand side in one of the corners is this human, semi-scruffy-looking bodyguard-ish type person. Before you, you can see Illyn, Billy, and Michael sitting in the front row of a private box. And the camera keeps going and panning. And it goes from this, what looks to be a shoulder shot, into this giant crane shot. As it swoops down over the crowd that is starting to pay attention to this fiddling arena center. And there are ramps going up to two almost islands in this. And the arena itself is starting to fill up with a fair amount of water. And you can even see one of the ramps has a half water path going up. So one can walk or swim up. And in the middle is a hover platform where you've got the Hark announcer from the last fight standing there in a six-armed tux and looking as resplendent as they possibly can as they stand there.
Welcome to the meetings. Welcome to our main event at the Lunar Severn. Tonight we have the returning champions of our tag team match, the Clawfish.
And as the Hark is talking about this, you can see a disturbance in the water coming up to the island that's there and erupting out of the water, landing with a trident in hand. You see a Quarren with a looking pretty much like a metal breastplate and with one pauldron, and they're standing there with, yeah, this trident looking pole arm.
Intisklar!
And there a Trandoshan runs up and looking to be in a, it's a fur trimmed work outfit, like a sort of spandex is about the best way that I can put it. And it's got stars in a line going down with green on yellow, looking very much like a American Gladiator style outfit. And they've got a vibro axe in hand. The two of them are standing up on this island, and you can see a couple hexes moving up and breaking the water surface so it connects their island to the one on the other side. And as this is going up, almost in like a sequence, drawing the eye from the champion's island off to the challenger's island.
And in this corner, we have the Cold Shoulder!
Yeah, the crowd at this point is, you know, doing We Will Rock You. Thank you.
I feel like Vistrano is trying to ham it up a little bit and is maybe flexing just a smidge. Respectfully flexing. Demurely flexing.
I think you should be like the intellectual fighter, so you're straightening your jacket and kind of adjusting your hair. Like, yes, I see that you're very impressive over there. Look at me be very impressed.
Yes, and my way of, you know, getting down into the muck is maybe unbuttoning two buttons on my neck.
You're making sure you have range of motion. I love how cool Vistrano is.
And Tailspin!
Are there ropes or turnbuckles or anything?
Yes.
Super. In that case, not to be outdone, because Barrowin didn't get the memo that she should have brought a trident, she will, like, bound up onto the ropes and sort of use them to spring into the ring, ideally doing a spin in the air as she does.
A barrel roll?
Well, probably not.
The crowd is cheering, all right and ready for everyone. And the arena has been pretty much filled with water. You've got different, I don't know, like hexes where you can jump from hex to hex to hex. There's even like a solid path, though it zigzags from the two different corners. And with that, the Hark motions for Clawfish and the Cold Shoulder to come into the center.
All right. Keep this clean. No dismemberment. And let's have a good match.
They'll pat Vastrano and Clawfish on the back with one arm set, and then raise their top arms up, and then apparently on this like hoverboard type hover platform, they just start backing up off of the arena area. So there is absolutely a lot of water around here, and I want to, off of our fighters, get a initiative roll.
I assume we're doing cool.
Yeah.
Super.
Good. That's the one I'm better at.
Are you going to do the showdown rolls again?
In this, kind of, yes. We'll do the showdown bit. And the way that I'm going to actually structure this is we're going to do round of combat, jump to the box, round of combat, jump to the box, that kind of thing.
Oh, I like that.
Ooh. So, I like it.
The way this goes, the initiative order on this is one PC, one NPC, one PC, and one NPC.
Nice.
So that brings us to either Vastrano or Barrowing going first. I'm assuming Vastrano on account of Vastrano's in the ring.
Yeah, that probably makes the most sense. I'm trying to think. I have very recently watched Glow, so I'm trying to think of some good
just
terms.
Just say everything in a thick Russian accent.
I am Vastrano. That just turns into the Vurin voice.
Oh, that's true. I am Blurin Bluffer.
I am Blurin Destroyer.
Okay, act like a idealized Southern Belle type.
I actually don't think that's an accent I can do.
Oh. Well, everybody else is like a uncomfortable racist stereotype, so we probably shouldn't do those.
All right, so Vastrano, after, you know, the demure flexing, will meet his opponent in the middle of the ring. Oh, gosh, I hate going first.
I can go first if you want me to.
Well, you're not in there. It's
yeah.
Well, it could be like Barrowin a tag out in. And Barrowin jumps in.
I mean, also in a very real
actually,
way,
I
have a
really...
lot of leadership skills.
I kind of really love that.
It also works.
Like Vastrano, so or like picture Vastrano's like, you know, flexing a little bit and then does that like neck crack thing, maybe cracks his knuckles, tries to look kind of intimidating, and then reaches his hand back, tags Barrowin in.
Yeah, let's do it.
Just flying
this
Colonian attack.
Although really, if I'm going to trip anybody, it should be the Trandoshan so we can then hold him under the water. And watch the light leave his eyes.
No, we love Trandoshans, Brandon. Don't hurt him.
Well, but not this one, though.
Yeah, it's got dark.
I thought we weren't killing people.
You're all precious.
Yeah, so I guess, yeah, we do. I assume we planned this ahead of time or something. Because it sounds very cool.
Intentional.
And yeah. Neither Barrowin nor Vastrano are particularly good at being cool and spontaneous.
Spontaneity just leads to disorder and chaos, and nobody likes that.
Yeah, so when Vastrano tags Barrowin in, Barrowin will launch herself at the Quarren and go for a... How deep is the water in the middle of the ring? Or at least where we're starting?
I'm going with 10 feet. Like, you'd actually have to tread water.
Okay, so is the Quarren in the water?
No, the Quarren's up on the sort of pathway, the small 5-foot wide pathway going between the two different main islands.
Okay. Barrowin will launch herself up onto that. Because that's where they're going to fight. And... She, of course, has no melee weapons.
If you'd wanted to pick one up.
She has no melee skill either, so wouldn't be
fair.
A plan. good plan. The crowd is like, wait, did this Salonian, this Pantoran get the memo? They just already start handing all the, they're like handing over their bets. settling up. They're like, no, this is, we're just going to watch the Salonian get her tail chopped off and it's going to be really bloody.
No, they said no dismemberment.
Well, the Trandoshan's got a vibro axe, right? So like, there's only so much you can do about not dismembering people. But Barrowin is going to go in with a... Man, I kind of want a two-weapon fighting. That sounds a little bit... Does this guy have any adversary?
Yeah.
How much adversary?
This one, two.
Ah, damn.
You might be in trouble.
Well, it means I'm probably not going to two-weapon fighting him anytime soon.
I mean, the trend showed in none, but...
Cool. I'll two-weapon fighting that guy. For now,
yeah. No, I'm just pointing out.
I'm just gonna try and we'll go in with leading with her fists, spring into the ring, and just use that momentum to throw a good solid punch to the where she thinks Aquarin's solar plexus is.
All right, and
well, Jenna, it looks like we're starting with a body blow.
We're gonna see how good that goes.
So,
all right,
two reds because of
two red. Adversary. Two setback.
Any defense on
you
his part?
You save defense. Yeah.
Huh?
They have defense. Two.
How much? Two?
Yeah.
I will spend two strain to take an aim maneuver on my way in.
All right. And with the dive in, I'm going to give you another boost because that sounded cool.
And you know what? I know the dark side is kind of closing in on us, but I want to hit this guy real hard. So I'm going to flip a point.
Okay.
Because I think Vistrano and Barrow would need to just put them down before they start getting stabbed. All right, I've got just a bunch of dice, a whole mess of dice, so here we go.
Nice.
Ha-ha!
Good job.
So on a whole mess of dice, Barrowin got two successes and three advantage. So unfortunately that was just throwing a punch, so her tail could not knock him down three times. If you get knocked down three times, you... fall through the level geometry and just keep going.
Break the game, apparently.
Yeah. So that is going to be four damage base. Well, yeah, point was flipped. I just haven't done it. Yeah, four damage is the standard. Does that get through his soak?
No, that would not.
I didn't take Martial Grace, unfortunately. I thought about it. But it would have only added one damage. Can stun be activated if you don't do damage?
I go with yes.
Cool. Because these are stun gloves, or shock gloves. So I'll spend two of the advantage to activate shock, or stun rather. It's stun three, so he just takes three strain.
Okay.
Goes through soak because it's not technically damage. And that last advantage, I think, is just going to have to be... You said we could tag for an advantage. Do you want to tag?
Correct.
Rin? Or do you want... I guess I should probably stay in the line of fire for now. Unless... So what happens...
I mean, it would be cool.
Rules-wise, what happens... Like, rules of the fight-wise, what happens if we get to Vistrano's turn and Vistrano is not tagged in already?
I was figuring that they would have to do something from the outside.
Like what?
Like positioning or something along that lines. Yeah, I wasn't in... I didn't entirely think that part through. Well,
I could just...
There was a bunch of like eating things and yeah.
Heckle the other guy.
You like,
could do that.
Barrowin has a lot of things she could reasonably plausibly do from the sidelines, but that's because she's built as a support character, so.
What about using the standoff showdown rules for the outside people?
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, like doing a social-ish type kind of check or an athletics thing or like trying to get folding chair into the ring or something like that.
No, I feel like I know what Vistrano would do on the sidelines, so
okay.
I feel good.
In that case, I will with that last advantage, the like spring into the ring was flashy enough that it definitely got the crowd like kind of more engaged in our team. And so, assuming, you know, whatever Vistrano is about to do, Barrowin's laid some groundwork for people to actually think, oh, hey, maybe these two are about something. Maybe they have a chance. So boost of Astrono.
Cool.
Nice.
All right. Then I think the clawfish is going to... let's see. You did stun, so... Yeah. You didn't do any wounds, so it's less... Yeah, I'm still going to do it. Yeah, I'm going to use the Vibro Trident to come at you. She doesn't do that much damage. She just has a lot of other things. Like, defensive.
Mm, I see. Cool. That's defense we can get rid of, though. I have 2 defense for my coat, so...
All right. So you've got that. This one... Okay, I'm actually going to spend a destiny point because... Huh. Okay, they do 6 damage, pierce 4.
Okay, so that's 6 wounds for me. That's fine.
And...
Go ahead, activate that crit. I know you want to.
Not this early.
But see, Ben likes playing with those advantage.
Yeah, like, that's the thing. Is I'm really thinking the clawfish is going to bounce out of the ring. And, well, actually, they're going to dive into the water as... Like, it's sort of a running slash on Berwyn, as then they dive into the water with a large ploosh and then pop back out at Disklar's side, tagging them and glaring at Vastrana.
All right, there's only a little bit of blood. It's fine. Don't worry.
So okay. Where's the... It's Qualin? Quarren?
Quarren.
Did I say that? Quarren. Where is he positioned now related to the Turned Ocean? If the Turned Ocean just tagged in?
The Quarren is on the opposite side of the ring from you. Like this hexagon that... There is a path along the outside, on the outside of the ropes, that, yeah, you can just walk around it as well. But yeah, they're going from one corner to the other corner, sort of zigzagging all the way through is a path, and then there's pseudo-random hexes where someone could just jump to.
I guess I'm trying to wrap my head around, because if the Turned Ocean is trying to tag in, the Quarren hasn't moved yet out of the...
Yeah, the Quarren has now gotten out of the ring.
Okay.
Quarren's lurking on the outskirts.
Yeah. Okay.
Then... Vastrano will, on the outside, maneuver himself, just sort of walk a little bit to the left so that he can lock eyes with the Quarren sort of over Berwyn and the Turned Ocean's impending clash. And he's going to take off his jacket sort of very, as nonchalantly as possible, fold it up, just as if he does not care.
Ooh.
But while not breaking eye contact with the Quarren, and then just yell over, "I see your friend wanted you to be the one to have a tussle with me. Are you ready?" And just look as cocky as possible.
All right. Is that like a... That really feels like a coercion check.
Oh, coercion. Oh, no.
What were you thinking?
Oh, I have no idea. I was just talking.
It sounds kind of like a cool check to me, but that's more personal than otherwise.
I could be convinced.
Cool would make Red happier.
I am convinced. Sure. I mean, I was just sort of throwing it out, but no, the way you're describing it, cool, absolutely works. So that's still going to be an average, and don't forget the boost from earlier.
All right. It's fine. All dice have canceled out. So, you know, maybe he's trying really hard to catch the Quarren's eye to be intimidating, but maybe the Quarren doesn't even notice.
Or the Quarren just like, yeah, that you're right. That's what happens.
These are
here.
The facts of the situation, indeed. Neat. I don't know if I've ever had an all dice have canceled out moment.
That's because I hoarded them for the first half of everything.
Boy, did you.
Then that brings us to Disklar, who is just going to yell, like, yeah! Raise his vibro axe up and try and run at Berwyn from the side.
Yeah, sounds fine.
Can we flip a point back?
I'm going to flip a point.
Thank you. Berwyn has a history with those vibro axes.
I mean, that's absolutely fair.
Yeah, I've been attacked once or twice by vibroaxes. I've never lost a limb.
First time for everything.
All right, so this is going to be 2 yellow, 1 green going against 1 red, 1 purple, and 2 setback on account of Berwin's defense.
Yep, that's correct. Berwin is trying to put on a strong face over the being stabbed
and
part.
Is able to dodge because of the coat.
Ooh, I'm so glad I made those coats.
Yeah, she just kind of flourishes with the coat so that he just kind of briefly runs up sort of under where the coat is, but Berwin is not.
And you can see them hefting up on the Vyroax out of the ground as they've just missed Berwin's foot. Like, just glaring and grinding their teeth at Berwin. All right, and then that brings us to the box with Michael Torval, Ilan, and Billy.
And Brutus in the background with his sprite, because, you know, he has to keep his wits about him.
So what in all are y'all doing?
Well, I will have already placed my bet on my team.
Yep.
And I will have made no secret, like, I figure we can place it on those screens in front of us.
Yep.
And I don't know if he's trying to hide what bets he's playing, but Billy is just going to flat out kind of straighten eyeball. You know, they've got the little screens kind of showing through, and place 1,000 credits on whatever their team name is, Berwin and Pastrano.
Ilan is sort of doing that scene in Spider-Verse where Miles is watching Peter think. But in Ilan's case, it's bringing up the betting pool, and Ilan very confidently places 10 credits on Berwin and Vistrano.
All right, that is kind of perfect. Okay, so are you trying to chat up Michael at all at this point, or are you just watching them?
I was just wondering if you would have had any reaction to the fact that I just put 1,000 credits down without, I can't say breaking a sweat, I'm a droid, I can't sweat.
Batting a photoceptor?
Yes, without batting a photoceptor.
It just means the bulb is kind of loose, right? That's that is.
Oh, Ilan can fix that too.
Yeah, I assume that's what Vistrano was talking about when he said that there was maintenance needing to be done.
I see that you had not quite gotten your bets in then. I'm glad that you were able to before the first punch was thrown, or slice as it were.
Yes, I find that betting on unknown quantities can make the game more interesting.
Well, yes, it in so many ways it can. The team here, the Cold Shoulder doing that maneuver is somewhat perplexing. I still will put money on them, but I am still somewhat shocked. I do hope that they pull through. I think that that would be the more interesting bet to have won.
Ilan, do you have something you want to be doing right now?
Not especially. Ilan's basically supporting Billy, trying to wait till she feels it's appropriate to break out the recording. Or Ilan is trying to keep a lookout and solve any issues that might pop up, and it doesn't sound like there's anything of that nature at this moment.
I would like to find a way to support my team. So maybe what happened was after, you know, the final bets were all taken in, that 1,000 that Billy just put on Vistrano and Berwin kind of changes the odds in a positive way for them. And maybe the announcers actually say something, and it looks like there's a...
This is very interesting, Baba. It looks like there's a last-minute bet that's been placed on the Cold Shoulder and Tailspin. Somebody seems pretty confident.
I don't know, I should be focusing on What's-His-Face. Billy will casually then lean back and pull her Sabacc cards out and start shuffling them. More to catch his eye than to actually indicate that she's going to do anything.
I think here's where Ilan is going to try to, like, wingman you a little bit. Ilan looks at the Sabacc deck and looks at Michael and asks,
"Do you play Sabacc?"
Every now and then I do have a game or two, but it is not one of my more favored approaches. I'm much more of a Hintaro sort.
Oh! Well, Billy here knows Hintaro. Isn't that right, Billy?
I am familiar with the game, yes. I have some experience with it and Sabak. I often find that you can learn a lot about oneself and one's opponents at the table. Has this been your experience as well?
Well, I do find that it helps knowing who your opponent is at the table. Learning at the table, it can be the case, but I find it mostly after the hand has been dealt and played that's when I find things. For learning the bluff as it goes is less apt for me. That if I understand how they are and how they act before and during their stresses, that I can then have these beings do virtually what I want of them. But with new players, I do find it a little concerning that there are so many different sorts and so many different ideas behind them that it's hard to discern which path that they are going to be taking.
That is a valid strategy, to be sure.
Illyn nods along like Illyn understood anything that was just said.
And you nod, and then you...
Exactly.
Billy will do a couple of flashy kind of hand like shuffling, do the rainbow kind of midair thing, and flip a card between two fingers. And
that's a valid strategy, to be sure, but foreknowledge isn't always the most accurate.
Okay, you know what? Screw it. She shuffles the cards, and she twists one, and it's the Queen of Air and Darkness. Shuffles card, flips the card again, and it's death. Or demise. So, instead of actually saying anything, she acknowledges it's a valid strategy, and then she just kind of shuffles and flips those cards.
Alright, in that case, what's your skullduggery?
My skullduggery is 3 yellow.
Actually, can I get your skullduggery against an average roll?
Bodyguard?
Also does. Oh. No, it's more perception. I'm assuming that the bodyguard isn't getting it. It's, does Torval get it?
So if I succeed, he'll get it, and if I fail, he won't?
Pretty much, yes.
Okay. I was about to say, because I want him to get it. I don't want to be that much better than his perception. No, I'm good. Same page.
Yeah, like, that's the entire reason why this is not actually going up against his perception, but...
Okay. 3 success.
All right. And as you do that, he will nod. He will look to you, look to Illyn, give a look over his shoulder to the bodyguard, and, well, that is a very interesting sequence of cards. Is there a thing that you're here to tell me?
Illyn turns and eyes Brutus. I take it Brutus is armed?
Yes.
He has a concealment bulge. Perhaps it is not I who wish to tell you anything. Perhaps it is merely the cards.
You come all this way. You get in here to my booth. You sit here. You're placing non-trivial bets. And then a droid of your very fine, dexterous hands. No, there is most certainly something that you are here to tell me about.
Perhaps that something would be best done in... private.
I think Illyn's hand has been at least is hovering over near where they have the ion stunner concealed. They're not going to start anything, but they are afraid that Brutus is not with this guy.
Oh, I do. Oh, I am so sorry. See, well, yes, my companion here, Brutus, is very dear, very definitely one who will protect me and I were to be attacked, but that is only because I am the, shall we say, toy of his employer. The one that is his employer and my bow is most certainly wanting to keep me, shall we say, undespoiled by some others. So, regretfully, I do not believe that I can get him to depart in with the two of you here, thus paying off the despair.
That is fair.
Well, In that case, Cav clicks their mandibles and buzzes a little bit in Gand, which K1 does not translate. And a pair of danger balls are going to rise up behind Brutus, I think. And Cav's going to
oh my stand gosh. Up.
Don't move.
Oh. What are you doing? Oh my gosh.
We got to deliver the message at some point.
Oh no, I fully intended, but I thought you might lock the door first. Not threaten him with guns first.
Yeah, and see, Brutus is going to do pretty much what is, like, he's just going to shoot Kev. He's going to draw, use his maneuver for that, and shoot Kev. Since Kev
okay,
is, drawing
is that a vigilance check then to see who can draw first?
Yes. Yes, it is.
It's probably a really good thing, by the way, that Billy is a droid. Otherwise, that would have been a full-body wince.
Oh, well, I am not gonna beat that. Oh, I tried. So, yeah, before Cav is very confidently going to start reaching for the ion stunner, and before Cav can get anywhere close, this guy's weapon is in hand, and it's fired.
Yeah.
As Ben got 5 successes and a triumph compared to my 2 successes and 4 advantages.
So what's going to happen is, because there's a triumph, he gets a free maneuver, and he is, you know, the thing that Leslie slash Billy has been wanting Cav to do? He's going to do it. He's actually going to hit the emergency close, which will bring down the actual protection door instead of the sort of privacy door.
So he's sealing us in.
Yeah. And then he is shooting at Cav.
Okay, don't worry, I haven't had time to sidestep, so I just have the 2 defense.
Okay, so you've got 2 defense?
Yes. I think Illyn is very confidently stood up. There is no chance of cover here.
All right.
Dive behind Billy.
Thanks.
Okay, actually, I am not using a destiny point at this point.
I mean, I'm pretty sure you have a better soak than Cav does.
I don't doubt that, but...
Okay, then this is obviously a short range, but has to set back on it from the defense, correct?
Yes.
All right. Shooting with their blaster pistol and flipping a destiny point.
Oh no. What have I done?
And they do 9 damage. Sorry, 10 damage to you.
What was the destiny point for?
So that they get another 3 points of damage. They did targeted blow, add destiny point to use 3 advantage from their agility.
Don't worry, after soak, that is 7 wounds, half of Cav's wounds, because Illyn took that rank of toughened a while back. So there's just a smoking hole in Illyn's jacket as they, they're very surprised at how quick this gunman was able to draw. And they are falling back against the glass of light, or the transparent steel, like the box. And this is when I think, at the very least, K6 would probably fire in a panic.
Oh, I would absolutely go with the both
of them. I think the danger balls are attacking.
You said I would absolutely have the ion go stunner, with the right, both. Christine?
Oh, that's all Cav has. They have heavy blaster pistols.
So we're actually sealed in. This isn't like an open-faced booth.
I was figuring that's an open-faced booth, and that Illyn is up against the railing.
Okay.
So is this an adversary, and does he have any defense?
No and no. He is a... They are a rival, they have no adversary, and they have no range defense.
Those are all good things.
They're actually really close to Tisklar, except Tisklar... Oh, shoot, I should have used that for Tisklar. Oh, well.
I'm really glad that Cav has Speaks Binary 3.
You got to say 2 whole soak?
As K6 and 7 are going to fire, one of them shrieking loudly as he does so. After flipping a destiny point, that's a yellow and a green, and they have 3 boosts from Speaks Binary. The fact that Cav was trying to, like, threaten him, does that count as any kind of aim, or is this just happening?
I'm thinking that's just happening, and I do want to upgrade that 1 red to a... or 1 purple to a red.
Gotcha.
On account of him using a destiny point for the listeners at home.
Oh, God. Danger balls. So no successes were rolled anywhere in sight. So what I think happens here is K7 had a good shot, and K6, in his panic, runs into her, and they kind of both fall out of position. Heavy blaster pistols firing stun rings, illuminating the box. The two advantages is going to be it does buy Illyn enough time to then dive behind a seat for cover.
Okay, I will totally go with that. Is Billy wanting to do anything?
How big is the space we're in?
The rough equivalent of 4 chairs back, 5-6 chairs wide.
I thought you said there were 12 seats.
Yeah, I'm saying it's the equivalent of, there's a chair width on either side, and front and back. Well, not really the front, the chairs go all the way up to the front. But there's a bit of room that you can get around on either side, any of the sides. Roughly a chair width.
I guess I will move and throw.
All right, if you're going to throw him, I'm figuring that that's going to actually go up against his athletics. I'm figuring most of the other ones wouldn't have had a chance. Getting up, looming.
Okay, what's his athletics, my dear?
Just go against the two purple. One purple, one red, because I am going to use a destiny point.
Okay, that's fine. Out of curiosity, what is his athletics?
Would have been 2 red, 1 purple.
Do you want to make it I need certain advantage to actually throw him? That's perfectly fine.
Okay, yeah, that I will go with. I want at least 2 advantage for you to be able to throw him.
So Billy moves to engage and goes to throw him down. I'm not even joking in that phrasing. And you know what? I'm going to take 2 strain, and I'm going to aim. Deep breath, aim.
All right, so how much damage would that have done?
Well, I wouldn't have pulled my vibro knuckles out. It'd just be 4.
All right.
I mean, I don't actually have to throw him out of the booth. I'd love to, but I won't.
Yeah.
Unless... No, never mind. No, I'll just pick him up and throw him down. That's fine.
Okay, so you throw Brutus down. He's sort of knocked asunder.
Can I disarm him for the 2 advantage if I'm not going to actually pitch him out of the booth? Or would it be knocking him prone would count for the 2 advantage?
That's what I was using the 2 advantage for. Or what
fine.
I was thinking the 2 advantage were for.
That's fine.
I'm assuming that you knock him prone sort of into the aisle next to where Michael is. And then Michael is going to draw his blaster pistols from their quick draw holsters. And he is going to fire. It may not be great, but it is a thing. It's at short range, but it's at... He's firing 2 weapons, doing 7 damage, because he hits with one of his hold-up blasters. That is what his hold-up blasters are.
Is he shooting Brutus?
Yes.
Awesome!
So he gets up, he's sort of startled up and back, and his butt's on the railing, so that you don't go falling over. And as he rises up, pulls both of his hold-up blaster pistols, and shoots at Brutus, scoring a fairly decent hit on him, and getting him, and doing some damage to him, getting the next person to fire at him a boost of the 3 people that can be. And then the camera from there swings back down onto the octagon of water and metal. In the middle, we've got a Tranchodon who's holding a Fibroax, snarling at Barrowin, who's has a bit of blood from a showing from a slice with a vibro trident. On the edge, we've got Vastrano and Clawfish, the Quarren fighter, on the outside of the ring. And we have a player going first.
I assume it's way too loud and chaotic in there for us to have noticed the chaos up with Billy and Illyn.
Yes. Yes, it is. The crowd's starting to get into it, especially with the way that Barrowin's movements have been.
Also blood. Blood is exciting.
It's fine. I have lots of extra. It'll be okay. Okay, so I think Barrowin's just going to try and take advantage of the Trandoshan having missed and attack.
Seems like a pretty good idea.
You said he has no ranks of adversary?
Correct.
Does he have any defense?
No.
Okay. I am going to two-weapon fighting then, leading with my tail.
All right.
And backing up with a...
All right.
And I will flip a destiny point.
Seems like a really good idea.
So, purple, purple, extra purple because of two-weapon fighting. But they are both brawl weapons, so it's only the one extra.
Mm-hmm.
Do I have to move to get to him? I guess he was pretty close to me after he
attacked. No, like, the two of you are engaged now. Like, he ran up. He spent his maneuver to run up and get engaged.
In that case, I'm going to aim twice, so it'll cost me 2 strain for an extra maneuver.
All right, cool.
He overbalanced himself enough that Barrowin has a moment to just sort of really figure out where his center of gravity is and where she can make it be instead. So here we go. Okay, those are things. So I got 4 successes and 2 advantage.
Sweet.
So 4 successes means that the damage that he's looking at just from the hit with the tail is 7.
Yeeps.
Now we're getting somewhere.
I mean, when you roll 4 successes on an attack, it's going to do a decent chunk of damage regardless.
So do you then get... Do you roll again for the second attack?
No, so how two-weapon fighting works is I can spend 2 advantage to hit with the other weapon. So I could, if I wanted, spend the 2 advantage I have to hit with Barrowin's fifth. Is it based on the same number of successes, or is it just base?
No, it's the same number of successes.
So that would be another, that would be a hit for 6, but I would be out of advantage, so it would just be a hit for 6. How much damage did he take from the 7?
He took 3.
Okay, so he would take 2 more. I think instead of doing that, can I... I could knock him down for 1 and then have 1 to do something else extra. Yeah, I'll knock him down for 1 because the tail has knocked down for 1 advantage.
All right.
And can we say for the other one that since we're on this sort of like, I assume, slick and precarious raised area, can I, like as he gets knocked down, take his Vibro-X from him, or at least get it away from him? Given that the terrain is, it's not dry and stuff, so being knocked down is.
Okay, and my question to this is, are you wanting to take it from him, or like, as in, it's now in your hand, or it's just gone, like say at the bottom of the pool?
I mainly want to get rid of it. I can go with that.
Yeah. Like, 1 in a light side point, I could definitely go with, like, you snatch it, but...
Yeah, I don't need it, because I don't have any ranks, so I'd be giving up a lot of just ability to hit him in the first place. I just don't want him to have it. So yeah, tail whip to knock his legs out from under him, and just use a quick... Since Barrowin was coming in with one of her paws in a two-weapon fighting thing, but she doesn't hit with it, she'll just kind of take advantage of him tumbling to bat the Vibro-X just across the ring or wherever it ends up going. She doesn't care all that much as long as it's not in his hands anymore.
All right, and in that case, I think Disclar is going to try and swim out. Like, how I'm thinking that it's happened is Tail Whip comes around doing a fair amount of damage, like essentially bouncing him off of the... metal that's there. Like, it's not rusted metal, it's very slick, like very polished, and he bounces, like he actually bounces as he falls down. The Vibro-X falls into the water, and he, as he's coming back up, he just sort of slips after it. And yeah, I'm gonna make it so that he's like, ah, shoot, I no longer have my weapon. I'm going to try and get Clawfish in so that they can try and do some damage. So I'm going to make this... I mean, it's water. I'm figuring that it would be like a average check with a setback because...
What, like athletics or something?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Because I would assume that the ring is generally damp just because people have been in and out of the water now, but...
Yeah, and also I'm sort of figuring that, yeah, it's... There's not really great handholds. So yeah, a setback for getting out totally makes sense for environmental hazards.
Oh!
And
how
he's,
appropriate.
He's swimming as much as... And he's there trying to get at Clawfish. And there's Clawfish like leaning over the ringside trying to touch him. And as he swipes with his clawed hand, it misses as all dice have canceled out. Which brings us to Vastrano.
Oh, right.
As an out-of-turn incidental, can Barrowin go, like, get Vastrano's attention, like, meet Vastrano's eyes and say, go ahead and give him a hand?
Vastrano already is meeting your eyes because Vastrano was sort of, like, waiting to be tagged in. Like, has this, like, impatient look, like, all right, I want to punch something now. And you didn't. There was no tagging. What? Is, you know, in his head.
We can have the silent, like, you know, just break the rules and do it conversation.
It's not dishonesty.
In this stare. Yeah, it's and cheating. Then, it's not lying.
So very true.
It's right, obvious so, cheating.
So we've got a series of meaningful looks. There is impatientness, and then Barrowin's meaningful look, and then, are you sure, Captain? And then another meaningful look, and then rushing in. I'm just gonna jump the barrier and head on in there.
All right, I'm figuring that I'll take a maneuver to get to them in the ring, either one that you're going for. Which one are you going for? Clawfish or Disclar?
I am offended that Clawfish was not scared of me, so
Oh, I'm gonna love this with Clawfish.
Put the fear of anatomy lesson in him.
Yeah, I wanna just if it is possible to
you
rush
can
up
totally
and
get to
tackle
them.
Punch, that is what Vastrano would love to do.
Absolutely. I am gonna upgrade I'm not gonna upgrade this because
that'd be mean.
Well, yeah, as discussed in our previous tales, I don't like upgrading, like, adding an extra die from upgrading. So,
really?
Yeah, I actually really don't. So, difficulty on this is 2 red and 2 setback, because they still have their trident, and they do have their adversary.
Except it did-ish. I got 1 success, but 3 threats. I ran up, tackle punched. I haven't dealt with a lot of threat before. I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking about it real hard. It is a punch. Yes. I will flip.
Okay.
Which means that's 3 damage. 11 strain damage. That ignores soak. Not my best punch.
That is still a disturbing punch.
I was about to say, not your best does not mean it's, like, a problem.
Did you hear my limerick?
I think I heard, like, the Quarren's entire ribcage collapse.
Well, thankfully it's, or not so thankfully, it's a anatomy lesson type thing, so it's bypassing soak, that would disturbingly go through soak. That does knock him back a bit, but in doing so, what I am thinking is, okay, so that's 3 threat. What I am thinking is, first off, they're going to reach over and hoist Disclar up onto the metal pathway, effectively tagging them for 1 of the threat. And the other 2... Really, Vastrano's the only one who can see this, but as Clawfish looks at Vastrano, you can see their eyes just pulse yellow.
See, as like someone glowing. With yellow eyes, no.
Jaundiced?
No, like actually Quarren. Glowing.
No, I meant
I see.
Quarren. Is that normal for Quarren? Did somebody summon something?
I have a bad feeling this is...
Alright.
I have a bad feeling this might hurt.
Oh yeah, it is actually Clawfish's turn.
Oh boy.
Darth Clawfish.
This is secretly a teaser for season 3 of Heroes. We're going to see this this Quarren again.
Is Tisclara your character, Christine?
Shh. Look, it's like Trandoshans, okay?
I also like Trandoshans. I just, you know, that's why I was asking.
Mistrana was almost a Trandoshan.
So, Ben, what bad news did you just deliver in the chat?
Well, I rolled for damage. And, well, I rolled force dice because, well, that is what this adversary card has. And I really like this adversary card. But what I'm doing is using their force rating to roll a harm check on Vastrana.
What?
Neat.
Uh-oh.
What does that do?
It does
really
damage.
Bad things.
That's what it does.
Force vampirism in a way.
It can be if you get it to a certain point.
And that's actually the point that this one's at.
Oh dear.
May still not quite be at the point of being able to survive another punch from Vastrana, but what they do visibly, like Barrowin can see this, but Vastrana can like see their eyes glowing yellow, is with their trident, they hook it under their arm, pointing at Vastrana with the three tines, and goes, and then Vastrana feels like just pain for a few moments, taking two wounds.
All right.
And you can see that the Quarren is somewhat less, or breathing better.
Oh.
Okay, so for...
You guys are in trouble.
For people that are not, I don't know, me, who totally knows what's going on here, did he just get better because he...
Force vampirism.
Yep.
Yep.
The force power heal harm lets you both heal damage and inflict damage directly on people, though the latter is just explicitly a dark side use of the power. And there is a point at which you can get it in its tree that when you do damage, you can heal damage also from yourself.
I'm a little scared of this force and destininess.
You should be. You should be.
Shut up, Christine. You're not a Trandoshan yet.
Yeah, so I think that even though two wounds is ultimately not, you know, that much in the scheme of things, I think that this was rather scary for Vastrana, and I think that there's probably some fear in his eyes and a little bit of faltering.
Being on the receiving end of any sort of force power is frightening at the best of times, but certainly in this era, you just see so very little of Jedi or other force users that
it's magic.
Yeah, it's
magic just happened.
Yeah, pretty unprecedented.
All right, then let's do a quick bit up in the box, and then that's going to be it for today. So we're doing Brutus goes first and then everyone else.
I think so.
Okay, so Brutus is going to shoot at Torval.
No.
Okay, so he's prone, but he can, I'm still figuring he's going to get a boost because he doesn't really have to aim. So let's go with...
This is when I really wish I was Nima right now.
Where you could bodyguard him?
Yeah, because I would. This is one of those moments where I would really love to have that improved bodyguard talent.
So doing anything to the roll or no?
We have one light side point, Leslie. Boy, keeping this guy alive is very important.
I was about to say, how weenie-ish is he? He'll probably be pretty weenie-ish stat-wise.
He's carrying two holdout blasters openly on his belt.
No, I mean metagaming-wise.
Relatively, because he's a gambling fop?
Okay, that's kind of what I was leaning towards. Yeah, flip that point.
Okay, so that'll turn him from a purple into a red.
Yeah, I think how we are kind of influencing this, I think Ellen is going to try to like knock him to the side or something like that.
All right.
Can he be... Oh, no, he's making up. I feel like he just kind of got thrown into a wall and he's in a weird angle to be shooting.
That's fair. Tossing a setback for that?
I was about to say, can he at least have a setback as well? Yeah.
Absolutely. All right, so that...
Three successes,
does 6 damage, and then targeted blow for another 3. Because
we don't, he might only be a minion, Leslie. We don't know if a stim pack will matter.
Torvald's a nemesis, dag nabbit.
Okay, I don't know.
He may currently only have 2 wounds left after that, on account of his brawn, really. But yeah, so Brutus got a pretty good hit. He did 3 successes plus of the 3. So yeah, he did 12 total damage against Torvald, who has a 2 soak. So 10 damage.
Dad gum.
Oh my.
And Billy is currently engaged with him, right?
Yeah.
I'd say I'm short because I kind of threw him down.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would agree with this.
If that's the case, I would like to act before Billy, if you're okay with it, Leslie. Because I really don't want to hit you with an ion stunner.
Shoot, I'm fine not getting hit with an ion stunner.
So Illyn is going to draw their ion stunner out of their coat, and getting up from their position and scrambling towards Torvald, they're going to fire at Brutus. I missed the crate's breath.
Light side it back.
Yeah, this is kind of...
I will... Yeah, I'm figuring that the aisles will line up so that you're not going to get a setback from him.
Okay. Cav is also going to take 2 strain to aim.
Okay. So yeah, it's going to be up against 1 red.
Okay. Oops. Not yellows, Christine. Not any yellows. These are just... Actually, no, 1 yellow, because I flipped. So 1 yellow, 2 green, a boost versus a red. 1 success and 4 advantages. It's when I really do wish I had Barrowin's pistol. Because the Iron Center has no ability to crit. However, that is going to be 8 stun damage to this gentleman. And if he has any cybernetics at this time, the ion damage won't feel too pleasant upon them. The 4 advantages, though...
Well, he had a blaster. Would ion damage the blaster?
There is Galvan circuitry and stuff like that. So, Cav has disabled blasters before with this thing. It's just usually requires a lot of advantages. Say, how about 4?
I would go with it, yes. Absolutely. For 4 advantages, heck, I'm almost willing to have the blaster get zapped out of his hand and over the side of the box.
I don't think we need to go that far, because that would be bringing people into the fact that something's going on.
Well, I mean, somebody's going to come investigate the sounds eventually. Then Ilan's going to look towards Torvald and tell him,
keep your head down. Billy and Cav have this. Cav certainly hopes that Billy and Cav have this.
I want to... How bad does he look?
He looks bloodied.
Okay.
Yeah, he definitely... Between the zapping and that, he is looking to be pretty rough.
Okay, well, Billy's gonna walk over, flex her hands, and the vibro knucklers come out. And because I actually do have to move, I cannot actually engage. Or I cannot actually aim. And we used all of our bonuses to make sure that he lost his weapon, so I'ma just punch him. He is prone.
Yes.
I'll what give does you a that boost do for me?
Coming over. For range attack, it's supposed to provide a setback, but all of y'all are too close to it. I'd actually give you a boost for it.
All right, so I punch him in the face with my vibro knuckles, which will be a total of 3, 4 damage, pierce 1.
Okay. What do you want to do with the 2 advantage?
Well, I can crit... But I don't know that would do enough.
Do you have any vicious?
Oh, yeah. Vicious 1.
That is not the one that I would figure. All right. I'm just going to go with he's actually knocked out.
Okay.
Between the fearsome, which, yeah, actually he's got a reasonable chance of succeeding on, but I'm figuring that between that and Billy coming in and just essentially punching him down, I'm sort of figuring that the way that everyone else is able to see it is... There's a cut to someone sitting at the high roller round, like the club seats. And then all of a sudden, a bunch of plaster from the ceiling drips down and falls into their glass. as then
they don't
look
notice
up.
They just drink it.
Well, they go to drink and it's like, what is it? And they look up and you can see a like little spider web above them. Cut back to Billy standing up.
Illyn is going to stand up straight as well and holster the ion stunner, straightening their smoking coat. And Illyn turns towards Torval and offers a hand and says,
come with this gand if you want to live.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Heroes of the Hydian Way. You can find show updates on Twitter at The Hydian Way, and you can find me, Ben, on Twitter at Deuterium Ice.
You can find me at LastLitGS.
And I am Ren at Atomic Firebird.
I'm Brandon at Blue of the Kin.
And you can find me, Christine, or Illyn on Twitter at 12th Night. That's 12th and Night with a K. And if you want to hear more from me, I have another podcast, The Glass Dagger. It's a D&D 5e actual play podcast. And you can listen to that over at CompleteKnight.com, also Knight with a K.
We are all at TheHydianWay.com, where you can find previous episodes and our sister podcast, Tales from the Hydian Way.
Our podcasts are on Apple and Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify. And please start putting podcasters that don't have S's in them. Where you can find more episodes and help us out by rating and reviewing the show.
We're also on Facebook as Heroes of the Hydian Way, and you can holocom us at heroes@thehydianway.com.
If you like what we do and want to support the show, you can find us at patreon.com/thehydianway.
Or you can donate a calf to us at ko-fi.com/thehydianway.
Now, obligation. 61. That sounds like a person.
That's definitely a person. That is, I think, a Billy.
Is it?
I think so. It's definitely way too high to be Illyn, who's hasn't had one activated in a while.
What order?
Too low to be me.
Oh, that's because Illyn stops at 20. Then Berwin stops at 45. Then that gets us to Billy and self-discovery.
Ooh.
Really?